Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is our Director's Cut episode featuring Stephen West, which is brought to you without commercial interruption by Abstract Fiber, the best place to buy the most beautiful yarn and fibers ever. When we interviewed Stephen, he's charming, he's funny, and he's as intensely unique as his designs are. He also has a killer work ethic, and I have to say my personal takeaway from this episode is more is more and less is a bore. And now, without further ado, here's Stephen. This week we are joined with the amazing, the unparalleled, the completely unique Stephen West.
That is right.
So you're at Stitches this week?
Yes, for the first time. I call it Stitches West Knits.
Oh, I like it. Mm-hmm. Make
it's
your own.
It's got a ring to it. Yeah, I make everything my own.
Did you do a hashtag for the weekend?
I did.
Excellent.
Stitches West Knits, Stitches West 2015, Stephen and Stephen. We're at the end of our tour. Mm-hmm. After 5 weeks of traveling, two Stephens. We're taking over the U.S., two Stephens at a time. And we realized last summer we did our first tour, and we went all over from New York to California, Seattle, Alabama, Florida, Minneapolis, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we're like, the U.S. is real big.
Yes.
Let's try it again this year. And we did the Mid-Atlantic region. Mm-hmm. So we did Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. I have so many stories.
Yeah, of course. Fire away.
So the first stop we did this year on the Stephen and Stephen Tour 2015 was in Haddonfield, New Jersey. And I've never been to New Jersey. I didn't know what to expect. And I found out there were a lot of sports bars.
Okay.
Ate at a lot of those in the small towns. A little scary. Not scary, but just entertaining. Because mm-hmm. people don't normally see us colorful folk around there. But the first class was from what I think of New Jersey, really chatty, mm-hmm. loud and shiny and sparkly. And I love that. Mm-hmm. But it was a bit jarring because there's this whole group of knitters in the class and they were just chiming in whenever they just went off and shopped during the class.
They just got up and
oh, okay. You don't have to knit. It is a workshop. We work a little bit and shop a lot. Mm-hmm. And the workshops of the workshop. Yeah. It was a colorful event.
So you're having fun on tour. It sounds like you're ready to go home for a little bit.
I'm ready for a little relaxation mm-hmm. because my normal days are spent knitting all day, every day. 8 hours a day is a normal day, 8 hours of knitting a day. Mm-hmm. So when you're teaching, you get up and you're traveling. I don't have as much time to knit nonstop. So I haven't made that many things. But I'm getting so much inspiration, so I'm ready to sit down and churn out the next phase of, what West Knits will be this year.
I really like how it's really grown mm-hmm. from really elegant classic pieces mm-hmm. to really. We talked about fashion a lot with Stephen B. Mm-hmm. and how it's really cutting edge and different, and it's new and it's not stuff we've been seeing before, and it's very exciting. So. How did that happen?
Well, I can mark it by I moved to Amsterdam four mm-hmm. years ago. That was definitely a big change culturally and schedule-wise. I was in a new school program that was really experimental, a dance choreography program. And, just being in Europe, not in the middle of Illinois. Mm-hmm. My previous school was in the middle of cornfields, and that has its style and aesthetic and culture. And then I'm in Amsterdam, close to Paris and London and Germany, all this huge melting pot of European cities and cultures. My style just changed immediately, less decisive, I think, less fear about what I wear and what I put on and what colors I mix together. Mm-hmm. So it's just stripping down and letting go of these rules that guide us in what we wear, how we knit, because there are all these unwritten rules, these colors don't go together, I'm a winter girl, I don't do yellows. I believe if you love a color so much, it's going to look good on you because
you love it.
I'll wear anything if I love it. I don't care how I look, but I'll make it work. I used to be all jeans and all plaid, and now I'm not. So it's fun to look back, Stephen of the past, 4 years ago, and oh, you had no idea what was coming. What a fool. So, I'm getting more colorful, and it has to do with, traveling more and just having more playful fun and not being so serious about what I make and what I wear.
Do you have a favorite piece?
Right now, it's always changing, but I love my Dotted Rays shawl. Mm-hmm. I made it last fall, and it's super colorful. There's like 20 different colors, and I do a lot with that, mixing all kinds of colors and fibers from my stash. And when I mix lots of colors, you just let go of all boundaries because you start looking at, oh, what colors to add to it? Does this color go? Yes, and five more. So it's more is more and less is a bore in that case. And it's just a colorful shawl with different weights, different fibers. And yeah, it wasn't pre-planned. I don't like planning out what I make. I just like making instinctual choices while I'm knitting. Mm-hmm. And then it goes so fast and it results in these things I could never have dreamed of or planned because I'm just knitting in the moment.
It's very mindful.
Yeah, very mindful knitting. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take it back. How did knitting find you, or how did you find knitting?
In high school, some friends taught me initially. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of theater. I know you did a lot of theater.
I did as well, yes.
I was a TK, a theater kid, and musical theater, and you have to wait all that downtime and rehearsals. So friends were knitting, the cool kids were doing it. Well, we weren't really cool, but we were in our group. When you're a TK, like, you are the coolest thing in your head, and everyone else just looks at you like those weirdos with the colorful hair and the pattern and mismatched outfits. So I learned to knit in the dark, mm-hmm. in the wings, backstage, mm-hmm. with chunky acrylic. And it was really great. No.
It was what you had.
Yeah, it was what I had. And I had needles in my hands. It was terrible first experience, but it got me introduced to it. And mm-hmm. I just took off on my own after that.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So I love hearing people's, like, origin stories.
Yeah, 16 then.
Did you keep knitting or did you ever take a break?
I kept knitting. I never really took a break. Maybe a month or two in college, I knit a little less because I was really aware of what I was doing was different mm-hmm. from what everyone else was doing. I'm like, okay, I have a lot of yarn and I'm always knitting. Like, no one else is really doing it. Is it annoying? Like, I was a little self-conscious. Mm-hmm. And after a couple months, I let that go real quick. Like, no, I'm gonna knit more, get more yarn, and just go all the way with it. And I've never stopped since. I've never taken a break.
Do you have one tip that you found to be very useful for you or that changed your knitting? You can do more than one. We don't really have a lot of rules here.
I have, like, some, like, landmarks in my knitting, like, things that changed, like, the moment when I realized, like, how to read my knitting. Mm-hmm. And I believe that you can be taught things in classes, but the classes I teach, I share some tips and tricks, but I don't think you can, like, pound information into people's heads. You have to learn by doing, and that's how I've learned everything. Like, mm-hmm. I've taken like two classes in the last 10 years, but I teach myself by trying new techniques and just repetitive doing, learn while you're doing and not be told what to do, understand it in your head and then execute it. But it's just making tons of mistakes. So hearing that making mistakes is good or okay, that was a big moment in my knitting. Because we try to do things so perfectly all the time.
Yeah.
But you're not going to make any progress unless you make tons of mistakes and go, oh, that did not work out. Let's not do that again. Let's try something different rather than being told what to do and achieving perfection all the time. That's impossible. So, yeah, just letting go of what's good and perfect and, figuring it out for yourself.
Okay, so mistakes. Mm-hmm. We all have them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one particular knitting disaster that you can remember that really stuck out? Because you seem very philosophical about your knitting.
Yeah, very. I don't have many huge disasters. Like, I have sweaters I've made that, I didn't wear because they were too big. But usually when I'm knitting, if I know something's not going well, I think I'm smart enough now to realize that instinct. Like, oh, I'm pushing myself to knit this. I'm, like, forcing it to happen. I need to stop, mm-hmm. or I need to change its direction. So I just finished a sweater, actually, 2 weeks ago, and it was kind of a disaster to me, just the proportion-wise. The neckline was not small enough. Like, it needed to be either really big or really small, and it just hit that in-between place, and it didn't fit my torso well. So I flipped the sweater upside down, and now it's a crop sweater with a big hood.
Hmm.
So the body is a big short-row hood, and it looks so weird that it has a look and not, it didn't quite become a cool sweater, but
it's intentional.
Yeah, it just transformed it. Yeah, I don't suffer through projects. If something's going towards a disaster, I'll make it even more of a disaster.
Go whole hog.
Mm-hmm. Put some fun fur in there, crochet stick it, and put it on my pants. Yeah, his pants. Yeah.
We should talk about Swantz.
Yes. Swantz, yeah. It's been a year and a half now since Swantz hit the world. They hit the world strong.
Mm-hmm. You made the news.
They were immediately on Vogue, Cosmopolitan, ABC News, Anderson Cooper. Like, in the first month, it was, like, overwhelming. It was a Swantzation that struck the nation. So I wear Swantz. Like, I love when I get comments of, oh, that's unwearable, or that's too out there. No one would ever wear that. I'm like, well, I wear it. And if I'm the only one that wears it, that's fine with me. But I'm going to share that. And if people get a kick out of it, great. If people want to recreate it, like a lady yesterday, she was like in her 80s. She came up to me in the Stephen B. booth and was like, the sweater, the worn his pants. I'm like, Swantz, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't figure out that back seam. And she turned around and showed me her butt and like drew a line across her cheeks. And like, is this where the seam line goes? Yes, that's that. Yeah, right there. really up close. Yeah, it was a nice visual. But I just loved that she was so, like, intrigued and, like, just was really fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. And I am, too, so I understand where she's coming from.
So how did you come up with the Swantz? Because I honestly never thought, hey, here's a sweater. I'm going to cut it up and turn it to pants.
And that's how my brain works. I ask myself those questions. I remember seeing a picture online on Pinterest of a sweater worn as pants, but it was more baggy. So I remembered that visual. Like, oh, that's a cool idea. So I got some sweaters and tried it. Mm-hmm. And the first pair took me 12 hours because I steeked it. I Kitchener stitched everything. They were form fitted, hand tailored, Kitchenered mm-hmm. Swantz.
And wait, so you did it by hand?
I did
with
it all
like a machine.
By hand. It took forever, all day. Gosh. And then I'm like, how can I make this easier? Mm-hmm. So then I developed another method that now I've got it down to 28 minutes.
Sweet.
From sweater to pants and out the door.
I think it's a wonderful idea, especially for older arthritic ladies,
mm-hmm.
because the wool keeps your poor arthritic hips warm.
Yeah, yes. I do it for the fun and the style and the fashion, but it's practical, too. Like, if you wear jeans outside when it rains in Amsterdam, you're going to be cold and wet. Mm-hmm. When I wear my Swantz when it rains, the wool absorbs the moisture, keeps you warm, and you look great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it would be cute for kids, too, to be honest. Like Genevieve has the legs for it.
There's been whole families that have swanced and like send me pictures and people do swance parties. Yeah, they're for everyone.
For everyone
that wants to have fun. Not everyone wants to have fun, so.
So if you don't want to have fun, swance. No, yeah. Swants. No.
So you don't knit the swants, you sew them.
I sew them. Yeah,
out
I take an existing
sweater
yeah. and flip it upside down, cut out the neck, and sew it into pants. I do use a lot of hand-knit sweaters from, like, thrift stores. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if only the woman who knit the sweater could see what I did with it. She, like, dropped dead. She'd, like, faint right there. Or love it.
Sounds a bit like hammer pants.
Yeah.
No, they fit better, though.
Yeah. They can be lower drop crotch. I do most of mine more fitted. And then you have swants, you have swunsies, swumpsuits. A guy in Minnesota did swederhosen. That is next level swants.
Do you have something you're really excited about right now?
Right now, I'm still excited about brioche stitch. I love brioche. You may have been hearing a lot about it. There's more patterns coming out, new books coming out.
Yep.
I learned from a class a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. and it like blew my mind. It's like relearning how to knit. It's a little different motion, the brioche stitch. But it creates this reversible spongy fabric and the color possibilities with two-color brioche. Like, I love stripes. So you can make this reversible striped fabric with brioche knitting. And it's just so flexible. So I have brioche breeches, a brioche bolero. I want to do, like, a brioche, like, jumpsuit soon.
That seems like it would be very bulky.
A bit. Depends on the yarn. Like, it's a very voluminous stitch. It has a lot of air.
Like, well, I'm going to point this out. You're not a petite guy.
No.
How tall are you?
6'2", 6'3", with a shoe, and, like, 6'10", with my heels.
So if you're going to knit yourself something with small needles, mm-hmm. a brioche jumpsuit,
yeah.
that is not a small amount of knitting.
No, but I'm determined. I knit for the look.
You're dedicated.
Yeah, if I have a vision in mind, I'll do whatever it takes. So I just made this big brioche dress, mm-hmm. the Excuse Me dress. It's called Excuse Me, A-S-K-E-W, because it's slanted to one side. And it's worsted weight brioche from head to toe. It's like, I don't know, at least 2,500 yards of knitting. I did that in like 10 days. because I'm like, I am going to have this dress. And I didn't sleep. A little bit, but I just kept going until I had my dress.
So you typically work in marathons. No, in marathon sessions.
I do marathon knitting. This tour is an exception because it's been so much stop and start in different cities. When I'm at home, I go.
And home is still Amsterdam?
Yeah. Okay. Home in Amsterdam. I wake up, I knit, I go to cafes, I knit in my shop in Amsterdam. It's called Stephen and Penelope, my yarn shop. And yeah, I knit until a sweater's done. So sometimes if I'm that committed, I can do a sweater in 5 days.
Wow.
I love it.
So what do you do while you're knitting?
I watch TV. Audiobooks? Yeah. I listen to a lot of music. I love Icelandic music in particular. I love Björk. I love her new album. Hjaltalin is one of my favorite Icelandic bands.
Good luck linking to that one.
Yeah. Hjaltalin. Hjaltalin. Yeah, I listen to a lot of music while I knit.
Now, are you still dancing at all?
Not as much. Mm-hmm. I use my photo shoots as that access to move my whole body, because when I knit, I just sit down. But I'm doing some music videos this year.
Fun.
For knitters.
This should be good.
Yeah. So I'm going to take songs and like rewrite lyrics, knitting lyrics, then do my dance moves and my costuming. Because I love doing projects that mix, like take knitting outside of the knitting world. Like mix knitting with fashion, with music, with absurdity, with art and makeup. Like we need to venture out into all these other spaces and mediums. Because otherwise it's just all the same.
Yeah. And you can't, the art can't evolve without change.
Yeah.
Do you have a special tool that you like to use?
Like so one specific
I'm seeing
thing.
Stitch markers on your shoelaces.
Yes.
Which is a very interesting place to carry them.
Mm-hmm. I always have them on me, stitch markers on my shoelaces. There's really big split ring markers now. And I use them just for jewelry, for the fashion of them. Knitting fashion. Notion fashion. I love Julie Weisenberger. Mm-hmm. Weisenberger?
She's Coco Knits.
I love her, what does she call it? The knit kit? Or
the
her, like,
thing?
Slap bracelet.
Yes.
What's that called again?
We'll link to it. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But it's a slap bracelet with a magnet on it. And it has, you can have your tapestry needles on there and stitch markers. Love that. That's
awesome.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm. So you just wear that all the time, like a superhero?
Well, especially when I'm doing finishing, because you're like seaming, weaving in all your ends, and yeah, you just stick the tapestry needle on your wrist and you never lose it.
Did you have slap bracelets the first time around?
Yeah, I had slap bracelets. Well, in the 90s. I was born in 88, so I missed a lot of trends, but I had the slap bracelets. Rolling your eyes at me.
I'm not rolling my eyes, it's just...
Yeah, I think you were in middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, Stephen B. is twice my age. He usually says that, so I'm going to say it if he didn't. Yeah, we bring up the Stephen in each other. Stephen's of different generations.
So your stuff is very different from other people's stuff. And it started out different.
Yeah.
Like your shawls were different shapes and they used color differently. Mm-hmm. But now you've gone completely a different direction. Mm-hmm. Where did you get your inspiration for? How did it shift, I should say, from one to the other? You said moving to Amsterdam was a big part of it, but it feels like there's something.
Yeah, for me, like designing patterns, it's a lot of theme and variation. I never feel like I'm starting from scratch. So the shawls and the garments I'm making now all relate back to previous studies from my first shawl designs. So I'm not going to make the same style over and over again, because first of all, that's boring. And second of all, the knitting world doesn't need more of the same stuff. It needs fresh ideas, whether you make it or not. Just it needs more visual stimulation and not, you know, the same thing. I don't think we should be knitting the same styles in decades from now. So yeah, I take one thing and then add a color to it and expand the shape and steal ideas from previous explorations and apply brioche to them. And with my style changing and my color sense always shifting, that application, it's tending to get quite wild with my neon love. And now I'm embracing colors I used to hate.
Like what?
Like lavender. I used to hate that color. I said it in one of my color classes 2 years ago. I made everyone say what color they hated and why. Then I made them knit with that color and make it work. And I'm like, oh, well, it's not so bad if you mix it with other colors. Like, I think you can make any color work. because it's not about the singular element. Mm-hmm. Stephen B. is all about this, too. It's not about looking at a yarn and saying, I'll take 10 skeins of that for us. 10 skeins of that and make a cabled sweater. That's beautiful, but the way Stephen and I, our brains work, we're like, I love that color. I love the silk. I want to mix the silk with the alpaca and have the mohair lace weight and add some chunky with it. And what can I create with that, you know, this kind of dissonance of color and texture.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing very different stuff, and it's because you're taking old themes and mm-hmm. working with colors. And yeah. So where do you get most of your inspiration from?
Recently, most of my projects have been inspired a lot by shopping, by getting outfits, by fashion. Yeah, I'm making scarves and sweaters to go with particular looks. Because I'm thinking more about the total look of what I'm going to wear from head to toe. I'm like, okay, I've got this awesome outfit. It needs the perfect hat. And then I make that based on what I have. So I'm thinking more in a total way instead of, you know, making one shawl. I love that color. And then not knowing what to do with it after I finish. So, yeah, I'm one that will make a shawl and buy a whole outfit to match. And I travel a lot, so I always see different designers and aesthetics, so I get inspired by, ooh, I've never seen that neckline before. So that image sticks in my mind, and then I kind of will build a sweater off of that one element. Oh, it needs to be drapey with, like, a big neckline. Let's work from that image. Mm-hmm. So I get inspired by that, seeing other people's work, and then imagining it with knitting goggles.
So 5 years ago, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have seen yourself where you were today.
No, I think it would make sense, but I've never had like a 5-year trajectory, mm-hmm. like where I'm going to be. But I think I would be surprised in a like entertained way. Look for Stephen from 5 years ago, looking at what I'm like now, because I have a really fun time dressing up and making my colorful creations. But I would be surprised still.
So with that in mind, what do you think Stephen 5 years from now looks like? Knitting
I think
lasers?
I'll be wearing all beige.
Oh, mm-hmm. really? All beige?
Who knows? I say that because I have no idea. I would love to like keep getting wilder and crazier and bolder, but not, you know, going off into the stratosphere and not communicating with people, but, you know, taking people with me and
so not being so extreme that you leave yeah. everyone behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just being crazy for crazy sake. That's mm-hmm. not why I knit colorful creations and like wear crazy outfits. I do it because I'm fascinated by color interactions and the moods they create. And that translates to knitters because we're working with color and forms all day. So I hope it keeps getting louder and more complex in a colorful way.
What are you excited about right now? Like, what do you do when you're not knitting?
Well, one thing I'm excited about right now, I've been at Stitches West for the first time, and I've been 5 weeks traveling to dozens of yarn shops. I'm really excited about all this, like, crazy personalities I've encountered, because we're knitters. We do it a lot at home. Now we have, like, lots of knitting groups and get out and go to conventions like this, but it's a different schedule from my normal stay at home by myself and work. So I'm really inspired by the things that everyone's making and just variations off of my patterns and just other beautiful designs that people come up with. So I'm like really excited by this weekend. There's some crazy looks. The first lady I saw was wearing a giant turkey hat. And I was just like, I wouldn't make that for myself, but I loved it. Like, it was, what is it, February? I don't
yes,
know what month it is.
It is February.
It's February, and you know it's not Thanksgiving, but you're wearing a turkey hat because it's Stitches West, and you want to look good. Mm-hmm. So, props. I love that. And there's, like, little girls and boys that have come to our knitting classes with their parents. I'm really inspired by seeing my pictures and videos, and I love seeing that enthusiasm, because I relate to that so strongly. I feel like a little kid still. I like feel like I dress like a big baby half the time. So I like relate to kids in that creative, colorful way. So I've loved meeting them and just seeing how people, yeah, wear their knits and how they change my patterns. So that gets me thinking, like, okay, I'm producing all this stuff, and it's some people are listening. Well, some people are applying the craziness to their own style, and so it's inspiring to see that, oh, I'm going to keep going crazy, keep going strong. And some people pick up on that. And it's nice to meet them in person. And
to make that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of connections, mm-hmm. let's talk about your collaboration with Stephen B. a bit. Yeah. How was that born?
Well, I've been teaching at Stephen's shop the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I just started releasing patterns 5 years ago, and he noticed and invited me to his shop and pretty much like told me I was going. It's like, I'm sending you a plane ticket. You pick the weekend and you're teaching at my shop. So I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. So I did it and we just clicked right away because he's crazy and energetic and just full of inspiration and fun. And I bounce off of that. I relate really strongly to his aesthetic and crazy style. So it was really fun to travel with him. Because first I taught at his shop, and then we decided, like, this works really well. We need to, like, take the Stevens out of Minneapolis and travel the continent. So it's been a really good dynamic. Because he's, like, the ringleader. Mm-hmm. I can entertain a crowd for hours. And I can, like, match him for a little bit, energy-wise. But then I can do more one-on-ones with people and, like, yeah, mm-hmm. help them out technically. And he's just show, full of inspiration. So we're a good pair, a good balance. Mm-hmm.
So you've been touring, is there a favorite part that you have? Is there one part you really, really like?
I love, my favorite are the, like, luncheon, like, show and tells. When it doesn't get too technical, because there's only so much you can teach in 3 hours, and you have a group of 20 people at different skill levels. I love sharing tips and tricks, but I don't like doing like the really nitty gritty, detailed, hardcore technical classes, and I'm doing a lot less of that. I like to just relax, show off color, show people how to wear their shawls. Because I get those questions a lot, like, I don't know how to wear my shawl, or some shapes, or this is unwearable. Well, first of all, put it on, and you're wearing it, and toss it over your shoulder. That's another way. So I like just showing people, like, fun ways to engage with their knitting and let go of the technical rules. So I like the luncheons where we show and tell and just throw garments on people and let them have fun, let them loose.
When you're not knitting, mm-hmm. what are you doing?
I'm sleeping. And then I wake up and knit. when I'm not knitting, what do? Well, I love listening to music. I love jump roping.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty skilled jump roper.
Can you do the double dutch?
I can do the double dutch. I can jump rope inside the double dutch. Mm-hmm. Well, because you can jump in the double dutch, and then you can have your own single rope. And jump rope with the single rope.
You're talking about in?
Yeah, it's like...
That's got to have its own name.
It's like triple dutch or something.
It is.
Yeah. So I love jump roping. I have a video on YouTube, Reykjavik Jump. Mm-hmm. Search that. And there's a little video of me touring Reykjavik, jump roping in different places. So that's what I like to do. Knitting. That's like a big part of my life.
Okay, well, let me ask this. When you're not knitting for work,
uh-huh.
do you knit stuff just for fun?
Yeah, I knit a lot of stuff just for fun. That, like, keeps the pressure off. Like, no one has to like it. I just have to love it and wear it. And sometimes they do result in patterns. Mm-hmm. But I love making things that I don't have to ever know how to make again. Just crazy freeform, different textures. Yeah.
So do you have, like, a favorite thing you like to knit when you're not knitting for pressure? Or is it just...
I love sweaters and jackets right mm-hmm. now. I love making garments, big garments. And sometimes it starts as a hat. Mm-hmm. Like the Excuse Me dress started as a hat. I'm like, I love this hat. Could be a cowl. And then I'm like, oh, I love it on my neck. Let's keep knitting, increasing. Oh, I have a yoke. And I wanted to do a sweater after that. So it all started from a hat. I'm like, I'm just going to keep knitting, keep going. Oh, I like my sweater. Let's keep knitting. And now I have a dress. So like, started with a cowl neck and became a dress. So that was like a knitted project just for me, but it ended up as a pattern.
Yeah. You've been touring. Mm-hmm. You've seen quite a few shops around the world and lots of knitters. Mm-hmm. And your favorite part is just...
I like the show and tell.
Just the luncheons and, yeah.
The show and tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people get so... They can get so heady about what's the right way to do a short row or what's the right way to combine your colors. And really, for me, there's no right or wrong. It's more about showing people that anything is okay. Everything has a style and a look. It's just, what are you going for? Like, do you want to be loud or subtle? And then I give tools on how to combine colors that way.
Yeah. So where do you think your knitting philosophy comes from? Because you're very... you're very casual about your knitting, but it's
very liberated.
Yeah.
It, like, for me, comes a lot from growing up. I sang. I did music from since I could remember, singing in choirs and musicals, and then I found dance. So it's a very rhythmic thing to me. Mm-hmm. And I never gravitated towards, like, really technical forms of singing or dancing. Like, I had to experiment with jazz and ballet and those solidified forms. But my favorite thing to do is roll around on the floor and, like, improvise with people and share weight and dance without any certain steps that I have to do. But, yeah, well, my whole life is kind of, like, free form, spontaneous, but still, like, quite rhythmic and precise about how I make my choices, but not in a guided, rule-following way.
So it sounds like you learned the rules.
Yeah.
So that you could work outside them.
Mm-hmm.
So the analogy I use is you have to know music theory to do improvisational jazz.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that helps a lot. I'm not like crazy wackadoo, like from nowhere to just craziness. But, you know, I was, like, I approached knitting and the technical parts of it. And, you know, experimented with some techniques. And now, like, I still think I'm very basic in the techniques I use to knit my fabrics. Like, I don't do crazy intarsia much. I don't do, like, Estonian lace. Like, these really technical forms. They just don't capture my imagination as much as garter stitch stripes do.
So we're not going to see any noops in your collection?
No, maybe a bobble. I do like texture, but no noops. I like simple stitches so that I can speed up and go more wild with colors and shapes. That fascinates me. Yeah, I think of all my designs as not for a man or a woman. Like, I identify as a male. I'm a man. But I don't want to dress like a man or go to the other extreme and dress like what I think of as 100% feminine qualities. I like the mixture. I like the fluidity of feminine and masculine. All my things are unisexy. Because I wear everything and... Yeah, I don't try to target my designs for, this is going to be for a burly man with a beard. He's going to want to wear that. Or this one's for, like, a girl who loves sparkle and pink. Like, I don't know, I'm a guy who likes sparkle and pink. And maybe I have a beard someday, and I want to wear some cables in a rustic color. But, yeah, I like mixing with these, odd masculine, feminine qualities. But they usually don't have, like, a purpose, like, purposefully for a certain quality or type of person that I've imagined knitting it.
So you're not knitting for a demographic.
That day. No, and I'm lucky that I don't work for anyone, and I don't have to work for a publication that tells me, you have to make a shawl with these colors by this deadline to relate to this type of person. Like,
do you sew for yourself?
No.
No.
Not rarely. I can sew fabric together. That's about it.
Okay. I was looking at your outfit, and I thought... He may have made that.
Not this one.
What is it? I thought it felt like
it looks like neoprene.
Diving.
It's like a
diving.
Neoprene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Like scuba. Yeah, people ask me, like, what is that? Like, it's, like, really different. It's, like, weird, but I like it. Is it
it's
scuba?
It's neoprene with a Red Cross logo, but it's black crosses. But it looks just like the Red Cross logo to me.
Mm-hmm. It looks really warm.
Yeah.
But comfortable because neoprene's supposed to breathe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it breathes. People are like, you look so hot. So I'm like, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm a little sweaty. I feel real cool. Recently in the airports, a lot of people, because I don't care what I look like. I wear what I want to feel good in that day. And I get asked if I'm a clown a lot. If I was going to Mardi Gras, I'm like, is that? I guess that just happened.
Yeah, last week.
So I was like, okay, fine. People have their own relations to looks, but... Like, I'm just dressing for fashion and to feel good about myself.
So when you buy stuff, you just look on the shelf and you go, that is today.
I'm real particular. I know exactly what I like, and I know, like, what I have in my wardrobe that it's going to go with. And it's always kind of changing the colors and the silhouettes. And that's what I get inspired by with a lot of my knits. Like, right now, I love, like, big scale proportions, like boxy, simple shapes that can be worn different ways. I love that silhouette.
And we heard you guys develop the bend and... Not the bend and snap. It's the
grab and toss.
Yes.
It's the knitter's bend and snap.
Mm-hmm.
So Legally Blonde, she bends down on the floor and snaps up to capture the attention of the UPS man. So the knitter's bend and snap is you grab the end of your shawl, the tail, the long end, and then you dramatically toss it over your shoulder. The knitter's bend and snap. Grab and toss. And did Steven tell you that Reese Witherspoon...
liked his thing, yeah.
Just followed our reality show that's coming up because she's a knitter. And I freaked out. I like squealed in the booth today because I love Reese Witherspoon. And she's a knitter.
I didn't know.
So my dream is to like knit with her, dress her up, and have her be in one of our episodes on our reality show.
She might do it. She seems like a good sport.
Gosh, I hope so. I'm going to like annoy her so much with my grab and toss.
I bet she'll do it.
I think so.
Kevin Bacon's a good sport about the footloose dance. Yeah, so she might be about the bend and snap. The grab and toss.
I can always dream.
I would like to hear more about the reality show.
Yeah. Steven got approached by a production company. It's the same production company that did Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for a new Guy Fieri. And that's Steven, the character. So they've been following him around, filmed an episode in Minneapolis. They filmed us in New York at Vogue Knitting Live. And they're doing a six-episode run online. And hopefully, ideally, it, like, takes off and a network picks it up. That would be the dream.
So you've been filming already?
Yes, a couple episodes.
They can't tell us everything, Mom.
Yeah. So there's more coming, and we have a Kickstarter going on right now. Did Steven talk to you about that?
Briefly, but we're going to link to it.
Yeah. So there's a Kickstarter going on to fund the next episodes, because I'd love for him to come to Amsterdam and do, like, Steven and Steven take over Europe.
That would be awesome. Do you watch Project Runway?
I do. I just went to Mood in New York for the first time.
Was it amazing?
I, like, was freaking out, and then I, like, purposefully, like, breathed, and, like, I just got a few things, because I knew I would go crazy if I just, like, went with my impulses, but now I'm regretting it. I'm like, oh, but I saw that. Oh, I need to go back and get more fringe. It was, like, I felt like I was on the show, like, we were strutting with our glasses on in the shop and, like, taking pictures. They're probably like, ugh, another group of tourists. We're like, pet and swatch the dog. Loved it.
Yeah. So did you ever watch, they did a spinoff with Santino and Austin Scarlett?
I haven't seen that.
Okay. So it's awesome. And that's what it reminded me of when you said, like, Steven and Steven do Europe. So they would drive to someone's place.
Yeah.
And they would make a dress mm-hmm. for someone, or they'd make a dress for someone and her sister, or someone mm-hmm. and their mom, or whatever, right? And it was their crazy dynamic, mm-hmm. but doing what they do, but it was a lot smaller mm-hmm. than Project Runway. It was a lot of fun. Yes. I think it only lasted the one season, but
I would love to do something like that with Steven, where we go to shops and, like, give them makeovers, like, give mm-hmm. them color pops and just share the Steven and Steven energy with everyone. Mm-hmm. And in Europe, that would be really fun because they're a bit more, in general, I'm generalizing, a little more calm, withheld, like, they're not as fanatical. There's not the extreme fanaticism. I'm saying in general. Like, I've met some fanatical knitters in Europe. Especially in Germany. They love the neon. but, yeah, they're a bit more, you know, classic in style. Mm-hmm. And in America, there's just so much more hand-dyed yarn and so much more. Mm-hmm. So people are really fanatical about knitting here. It's, you know, catching on in Europe. It's always kind of a little behind the extreme trends in knitting. Mm-hmm.
From what I'm hearing, they're still very concerned about knitting in public.
Oh, yeah, you don't see that a lot.
What will other people say and what will other people think?
Yeah. You get that here, too.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, there's less knitting in public in Europe. When I was in New York right after flying in from Amsterdam, you always see people on the subway knitting, and it's, just more in your face, I guess, over here.
People are very concerned what other people on the subway will think. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there are as many hand dyers, and I think there aren't really a whole lot of fiber events in Europe.
Well, they had one in Germany just now.
Yeah, and there's a new one happening in Germany. I went to one in Hamburg, and there was like 1,000 people that came, and Wollmeister was there. That drew in a lot of fanatics. Mm-hmm. Crazy ladies scrambling for Wollmeister. I was one of them.
Did you use your size as like to throw elbows and...
Well, I have the height, so I can reach for the top shelf. They forget mm-hmm. about those straggling skeins at the top, so I can reach those. But, yeah, there's events in Europe, but, I'd say definitely fewer. I think there's more in the UK. I'm going to one in Edinburgh Yarn Festival. That's supposed to be a really good one in March.
We've heard about it.
Yes. I'm excited.
You'll have to report back and let us know.
Mm-hmm. I'll be the yarn correspondent reporting live from Edinburgh.
I'm excited to hear how they go because we hear about some of the events in other podcasts.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about Instagram now. I spend the most time on Instagram, just the instant single photo, little caption. I use it as my blog now. It's just so quick, and I love like following different quick photos, scrolling through the feeds. And I have to mention, I'm really excited about Yoth Yarns.
Their booth is beautiful.
It's a gorgeous booth at Stitches, Y-O-T-H, Yoth Yarns. My friend Veronica started it very recently, and she has her browns and gray palette, her raw palette, and she just unveiled her blue and green palette. So she's going to do two more palettes later this year, I believe. So it's cool to see that slow unveiling of a new yarn company and just the way she displays it. It's fresh, it's modern, it's a little sexy.
It's clean.
It's just, it fills a void.
It's a very definite lifestyle.
Yeah.
Our girlfriend went nuts for it.
Yeah,
I
love the aesthetic. I love the style. It's fresh. It makes me excited about where knitting's going.
Tame compared to what you're working on now.
Yeah, like, totally.
Which
I
love.
More subdued colors. And, like, I don't pass it by because it's, you know, neutrals. Like, I love that. I could use those. I might, you know, throw a little Edison bulb neon punch in there. But it's just really refreshing. It's good to see that happening, popping up.
You can find everything mentioned in this week's episode on our show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. And you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Everlaps as Knitmore Girls. And we have a great Ravelry group full of interesting people, and you should absolutely be a part of it.
This is Steven,
Jasmine,
and Gigi
telling you to West Knit More.